Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not do any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any advertising on this program are considered used by or risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio. This, what day do we have it? Day of December 2023. I'm very pleased to have joining me today Robert Moisar, very well known, especially to those in New York. He is a outstanding student of JFK, and I've invited him to join and comment on any of my stories for today. I want to begin with a brilliant piece by Paul Craig Roberts on understanding our situation today. He is, of course, observed our nation's leading public intellectual, and this appeared on the UNS review, How to Understand Our Situation. He begins mentioning donors. I appreciate your determination to maintain a truthful existence. Your determination manifests itself in your support of this website, which is dedicated to the preservation of truth. Reassuring to me that there are Americans who understand that without truth, there is nothing except tyranny and arbitrary power that is unaccountable. If we become angry enough, perhaps we'll take our country back. I spent a reading your emails, messages, by mail included. A few issues were raised. Lincoln invaded the Confederacy in order to recapture the manufacturer-dependent agriculture section of the country to finance northern industrialization. The notion that the war, which was not a civil war, as the South ceded and had no interest in fighting over who controlled the government in Washington, the war over slavery is an obvious lie. In his inaugural address, Lincoln offered the South a constitutional amendment guaranteeing the South the institution of slavery forever if the South would agree to stay in the Union and pay a tariff. But Lincoln's war criminals so thoroughly destroyed the South that it wasn't much of a market. The factual history is still available in public records, but memory hole's reach is growing. As soon as all accumulated scholarship on every issue considered non-woke will disappear, the documentation of the tariff issue is extensive. I don't know where to put the explanation. When we had libraries with books, research was very easy. But the digital revolution has permitted massive of all that is not woke. Big tech, which controls access, is hand in hand with our increasingly tyrannical rulers. The third issue I address is a cause for concern. The failure of American education is so complete that many of our younger people cannot tell the difference between an explanation and a justification. It is not their fault. It is the fault of their teachers, the universities who train the teachers, and the bureaucrats who run the school system. Students are taught that disapproved people and concepts are dismissed with demonetization. For example, Nixon, Kissinger, Thomas Jefferson, and Trump supporters can be demonetized, but not sexual perverts. Indeed, sexual perversion is rapidly becoming a non-recognized thing. The concept is disappearing. Recently, in an effort to show the constraints, such as public attitudes on public officials prior to the 21st century, and in order to combat the distortion of history, I explained the constraints on Nixon and Kissinger that led to the Cambodia bombings. I did not justify the bombings, nor did I pass judgment on Nixon and Kissinger. I just explained the difficult situation they inherited from the Democrat Lyndon Johnson administration. But some readers read my explanation as a justification and wondered what had become of my moral conscience. Like Hitler and Stalin, Nixon and Kissinger have been demonized. Yet it was Nixon and Kissinger who picked up President Kennedy's words, ended by his murder by the military security complex, of diffusing dangerous tensions with the Soviet Union and Mao's China. Nixon and Kissinger opened to China and secured arms reduction agreements with the Soviet Union. These were important achievements, but they threatened the power and budget of the military security complex, to wit, reducing their profit margins by reducing the communist threat. The Warren Commission report on President Kennedy's assassination did not go down well with the aware and informed part of the public. Suspicion constrained the deep state's ability to repeat the feat with Nixon. So Watergate was orchestrated and used to drive him from office instead. The American left, the one we formerly had with, has turned into woke degeneracy, never understood that Nixon and Reagan were constrained by their conservative basis suspicions of negotiations with a cunning communist. So constrained, Nixon and Reagan balanced their peacemaking with aggressive rhetoric. The left didn't understand, didn't want to understand the political purpose of the rhetoric and rushed blindly into the demonization of the peacemaking conservative presidents. You can see the consequences today. The Republicans have become worse warmongers than the Democrats. I appreciate my readers are open to non-official explanations. If they were not, they would not be my readers. I'm not infallible, but I don't intentionally seek to disinform you like CNN, NPR, The New York Times, The Washington Post, ABC, NBC, CBS, ABC, and the websites financed by the powers that be, the explanations, narratives in their interests. Over time, our rulers have managed to completely corrupt journalists and to turn journalists away from seeking the truth of events to protect advertising revenues and the control exercised by vested interests. Note that Elon Musk told the truth by releasing the Twitter files. Corporate advertisers turned against him. Note that when Tucker Carlson told too much truth on Fox, Fox terminated him at their great expense. If I had the following of Twitter and Tucker, I would be having difficulties. But as so few Americans have the ability to think for themselves, those controlling our lives don't worry about us. We who think for ourselves are the last free people. Perhaps it will last a while longer. But if you happen to be there, I'd love to have your comments on the pivotal role of the assassination of JFK in altering the history of the United States, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim. It's good to see you. It's good to be here. Well, that was a lot from Paul Craig Roberts. I read him too. Let's start off with the first thing, the myth of Lincoln and the Civil War. This is pure propaganda that the Civil War was fought to end slavery. It didn't end until 1863 when Lincoln came to New York and at Cooper Union delivered the Emancipation Proclamation. And the reason for that was the hope that by declaring the slaves free in the South, they would turn in mutiny and support the North militarily. But the fact is that Lincoln had assumed dictatorial powers. He had a great plan for industrialization. He needed a lot of money, and he started to impose tariffs on the Southern states. So real spark that caused the Civil War. Now, in the aftermath, of course, you know, Lincoln was assassinated, so he's seen as a martyr, et cetera, et cetera. But let's be frank. The reasons for the Civil War was taxes. And as they say, taxation without representation is tyranny. And that's what started the American Revolution. Next, Lincoln, after Lincoln, the Kennedy assassination, practically 102 years apart, but the motivations were really the same. Lyndon Johnson was an arch Democrat, and it took me a long time to realize or to learn from a Russian roommate that I had many years ago that Bolshevik and Democrat are the same thing. I said, what? She said, don't you know that in Russian, Bolshevik means Democrat? It was mind-boggling to come to that realization. And what you're calling woke, I'm glad you're speaking so openly against black racism. That's what we're facing. But this black racism has been indoctrinated over the last 60 years, and it's really, woke is a byword for black communism. And if you want to know what that means, take a look at Chicago. Take a look at San Francisco. Take a look at what's happening in Los Angeles. This, the other term that we have to look at historically is Antifa. Antifa is not a new thing. Antifa was created by the Soviet Union, and Antifa went to work in Germany in 1918. Here's another shock. Germany did not lose World War I. World War I was fought to a standstill. On February 11th, an armistice was declared, and this was a stalemate. But what happened was within the month and a half from, 7 weeks, between November 11th and January, when the peace process began in Versailles, Germany was thrown by a communist revolution. They call it the German Revolution, but they never mention communism. But that's where Antifa went to work. They created riots, burning cities, killing mayors, killing policemen. They ultimately drove the Kaiser to flee into exile in Holland. And I tell you, it would have been no Adolf Hitler if the Kaiser and his staff had gone to Versailles to negotiate the Versailles Peace Treaty. There would have been no Adolf Hitler. There would have been no Nazis. There would have been no Second World War, because it was the exploitation of German people by the socialists that created the economic disaster of the Weimar Republic, which gave rise to Hitler. Similarly, Kennedy was doing amazing things. Economically, he had decided to get rid of the Fed. He had started to publish and print its own money. The government was going to print its own money, and did. He put $1.5 million in silver certificates into circulation. And I think that that was one of the straws that broke the camel's back. But the other two were his decision to withdraw from Vietnam and his decision to tell the American people about UFOs and the extraterrestrial presence on Earth and the interaction of the U.S. government with an alien presence that has been here, well, actually since time immemorial, but overtly since 1947. So back to you, Jim.
Another story I want to share is by Joaquin Egopian, who's a former Army officer, our leading expert on pedophilia in the United States. He got a 5-volume series you can obtain even on Amazon.com that puts it apart. The Anglo-American Zionist Genocidal Agenda, fully exposed. Clearly, the U.S. and Israel are waging these genocidal wars against the Palestinian civilian population in Gaza are losing the information propaganda war, as multiple cities all over the world are letting it be known that Israel and the U.S. are now rogue state war criminals. Thousands upon thousands of people have taken to the streets the world over in full support of the Palestinian martyrs, demanding an immediate Israeli ceasefire. 300,000 protesters marched in Washington, D.C. alone on November 4th. Hundreds more thousands in San Francisco, New York City, London, Baghdad, Jakarta. This last weekend, in fact, more citizens of the world protested last Saturday than ever before, because humanity knows a score and is rising up to stop the nonstop bloodshed. With the global masses, combined with the unified with both a Shiite and Sunni Islamic world, form a formidable foe opposing and soon defeating Israel and the U.S., wantonly bloody war crimes allowed to go on for virtually ever on this planet. As of Tuesday, November 7th, the Israeli Defense Forces reported that after encircling Gaza City, Israel has effectively cut off northern Gaza from southern in its brutal objective to root out the Hamas forces. But their other not-so-hidden agenda is to ethnically pledge the Palestinian population by death and forced displacement. Up till now, Muslims nationwide have demonstrated considerable restraint, but open-ended ultimatums have been issued by leaders from Iran and Turkey, and that of Israel, U.S., continue to slaughter Gaza victims much longer, Islamic forces will militarily intervene. With over 10,000 Palestinians, mostly women and children, now cold-bloodedly murdered in Gaza during this last month alone, the bloodline controllers have definitely set the stage for this powder keg to blow up at any time, willfully exploding our planet into a World War III Armageddon depopulation endgame, precisely as Illuminati Freemason Albert Pike prophesied way back in 1871, that evil controllers plan these cataclysmic Earth events centuries ahead. With the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken arrived for the fourth time in a month in Israel on his whirlwind Midwest tour last Friday, ostensibly to reduce the risk of the Hamas-Israeli conflict from spreading out a hand into the larger regional war, though Antony Blinken continues towing the Israeli line, refusing to call a ceasefire, using the lame excuse that the Hamas enemy will use it to regroup and pull another October 7th atrocity. So in effect, the U.S. is committed to co-sponsorship of the genocidal sacrifice of the innocent civilian Palestinian population. Instead of halting this war, Biden and Blinken are feebly encouraging Israel to authorize a humanitarian pause, allowing supply relief so to get into Gaza and release of dual citizen nationals at the South Gaza-Rafah border, which Israel has kept closed almost the entire month. Israel has only permitted a drop in the bucket of a minuscule number of supply trucks into Gaza and only let our dual citizen Americans out of the 500 to 600 still trapped in Gaza. This is all profoundly disturbing stuff, Robert, because the United States is applying the weapons that are being used to slaughter Gaza, and without that could not continue. So why? Of course, I know the answer, but why in God's name did the U.S. just cut it off? Turkey, for example, has now cut off its access to oil and gas to Israel as a very appropriate first step, where the Houthis appear to be the entity that has the most courage and conviction to take on the Israeli genocidal maniacs. You're right.
Well, it's, to say the least, Israel has walked into a trap of its own making. That's the way I see it. I'm going to express myself. Netanyahu is an anti-religious, hardcore Zionist. And Zionism has to be distinguished from Judaism. Zionism is an anti-God, materialistic, communist, fascist ideology that has hijacked this religion and has cowed the Jewish people into silence. And nothing could be clearer than that. But Netanyahu was in real trouble because in order to secure a coalition to form a government, he made a deal with the most radical racist of the rabbinates in Israel. And as soon as they took power, they started to change Israeli society. They started to try to overthrow the Supreme Court, as is happening here. It's another tactic to assume dictatorial powers. And Netanyahu had demonstrations of hundreds of thousands of people in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem marching in the streets protesting the religious takeover of the Israeli government. And seeing himself in dire straits, Netanyahu looked the other way. He stood down the Israeli defense forces. He thinned out the forces that were defending the Gaza border. He had forewarnings over a year ahead of time. The Mossad had noticed that this attack was going to happen. 3 days before the attack actually happened, Egypt warned, the United States warned him, and he stood back. He stood down the Israeli defense forces for 7 hours while these slaughters were going on. And what these people were, they were sacrificial victims. And why were they sacrificed? Because the people in these kibbutzes were Israelis who believed in peace, existence with the Palestinians or Gazans, whatever you want to call these native indigenous people of that territory. And so the Zionist government deplores peaceniks. There is a large organization in the United States called the Jewish Voice for Peace. A lot of people don't know it. These people have been working for years to bring about reconciliation. But the Zionist government is hell-bent on not only holding on to the territory they have, but expanding it. But we all know about the theory of the greater Israel. And that is why, was it one of our generals warned us in 1997 of the plan to invade 5 or 6 Islamic countries, a continuous warfare paradigm the United States has been following to always be able to supply guns and butter. So greater Israel concept was the reason for blasting Syria, the reason for Lebanon, and of all things, the reason for the Ukraine war. We'll never forget Zelensky, that pawn, that pimp, coming out about a year and a half ago saying Ukraine will be the next Israel, Ukraine will be the greater Israel. So all of these geopolitical schemes are all tied up in this bundle. But the upshot is that the Biden administration, and all going all back to the Obama administration, wants to create a conflagration. It wants to draw Russia into a confrontation with the United States to continue the perpetual warfare paradigm, and actually to drive us into World War III. So I oppose that. And in this situation, this religious conflict, it is a double-bind situation. You have two fanatically religious groups who worship gods that have told each of them to annihilate the other. Annihilate in the sense of kill every man, woman, and child. And in regard to the Hebrew Bible, I've been saying this, they use this term of Amalek and the Amalekites. They have designated anybody who does not adhere to Zionism and Judaism as Amalekites. And who are the Amalekites? They were the grandchildren of Esau. and they had a conflict with Moses. They didn't let the Hebrews pass through their territory to get to the quote-unquote land. For that reason, Yahweh condemned them to utter annihilation, and words could not be more explicit. He says in Deuteronomy, wipe out the Amalekites, kill every single one of them, go to every town and city, kill every man, woman, child, even their livestock, kill everything that breathes. Now, this is something that Netanyahu came out 3 weeks ago to give a pep talk, and he said to his Israeli troops, don't forget the Amalekites and what they've done to you. And that is the same quotation that's at Auschwitz. They have a memorial there, and it says, do not forget the Amalekites and what they've done to you. So this is religious ideologies on both sides at its worst. If you read the Quran, it's incredibly anti-Jewish. Anti-Semitic is a propaganda term that was coined in the 1800s to kind of soften the low words Jew-hating or anti-Judaism. But let us not get caught up. People in the United States, I can't understand it. There's a war. People take sides as if it's a Super Bowl or the World Series, place bets on one side or another, start to wrap themselves in the flags of those other nations. We're Americans. Our flag is stars and stripes, 50 stars on a blue field. And people were putting on capes like the Ukrainian
Robert
flag.
Robert, stand by. We'll be right back after this break with Robert Morningstar.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to RevolutionRadio.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Robert, yes, you're welcome to continue. I want to toss into the bucket that the Houthis really are changing the situation. The cost of the U.S. fighting the Houthis in the Red Sea has just gone up dramatically. The Pentagon is marshaling a new international task force to combat Houthi attacks in the Red Sea, and not a moment too soon it would seem, as it's been expending millions of dollars in munition to intercept the militants' drones and missiles since October 7th. But it is essentially expanding the target set for the Houthis, who are clearly bent on proving their own strength with, of course, Iranian backing and scoring political points against Israel. With this task force, named our Prosperity Guardian, bring the U.S. a step closer to a regional war that will, in the end, cost Americans much more. I love their spirit, Robert. They are declaring they won't back down even if the United States were to mobile the entire world, coming from antiwar.com. Yemen's Houthis responded to the U.S. launching a new military operation in the Red Sea by vowing attacks on commercial shipping in the region will continue even if the U.S. mobilizes the entire world. U.S. launched a 10-nation naval task force dubbed Operation Prosperity Guardian after major shipping companies began pausing Red Sea transits due to the Houthi attack. Bahrain is the only Arab country to participate in the coalition. No nation with coasts on the Red Sea have joined. Even if America is mobilizing the entire world, our military operations will not stop, no matter the sacrifice it costs us, Muhammad al-Bakari, a senior member of the Houthi Political Bureau, wrote on X. I find that fascinating, Robert. Yes, these guys have so much balls. They're battle-hardened. Yes. They've been working out the Saudis have finally conceded they have to work out a peace deal with the Houthis to divide Yemen into a north and a south. The south, I take it, would be the region that's oil full, but the Houthis never have been motivated by material goods, and they'd be satisfied with the north. The Saudis are worried, I think, that if there's now an attack on the Houthis, they could wipe out the Saudi oil refineries with no effort at all. I am fascinated with its development. What say you?
I'm having a bit of street noise right now, so I hope you hear it. These are the sounds of New York City news. I think we have to be cautious with any information that comes from that region. And the reason I say that is the Houthis have not been attacking American warships. They have been sending out drones. They have been trying to intercept interrupt oil shipments. They've directed some drones at Israel, which USS Kearney has been shooting down, but they have not been attacking U.S. warships overtly. And what I fear is another USS Liberty event, that a U.S. Ship, either in the Mediterranean or in the Red Sea or the Persian Gulf, may be targeted and sunk and blamed on the Houthis or the Hamas or the Hezbollah in order to draw us into World War III. Let's not forget the USS Liberty was overtly, intentionally attacked by Israel. They killed scores and scores of American servicemen who heroically saved the ship. But if that ship had gone down, Lyndon Johnson and the rest of the Zionist cabal that rules Washington were hell-bent on blaming it on Egypt so that war could be declared on Egypt. We must be aware this plan is always on the shelf. It's called the false flag attack. That's one of the ultimate false flags attack. And I fear, and I've been saying, we have to be cautious. Don't let ourselves be drawn into World War III. over a fake attack on troops. They are willing to sacrifice anything. They were willing to sacrifice their own people. They were willing to sacrifice the USS Liberty in order to escalate. And we must de-escalate, not escalate. Because
I completely agree, Robert, of course, about the Liberty, which was completely outrageous, not to mention 9/11.
Of course.
Which was a Zionist op. Really, it originated in the fertile imagination of Benjamin Netanyahu and Ehud Olmert, both of whom PMs, Bibi, presently still, where many believe that this war on Gaza was because he was in politically dire straits, seeking to revise the Constitution of Israel, to weaken the judiciary, to save his own soul from prosecution for corruption.
Yeah.
Where now his popularity in Israel is down to, as I understand it, 4%, Robert, 4%.
It's only continuing the war. It's only by continuing the war that he is holding on to power. Everyone knows that there's investigations. I talk to people in New York. I have friends from every country. I have Ukrainian friends, I have Russian friends. I have a lot of Jewish friends. And my Jewish friends are saying, we know that Netanyahu let this happen, but just wait. You know, as soon as it's over, there's going to be an investigation. Well, the longer he prolongs and protracts this war, the safer he is. And the situation is that he and Zelensky are caught. They're hoisted on their own petards. You know, they went to war thinking that with the backing of the United States, they would just roll over Russia. Nobody's going to roll over Russia. Nobody's ever done that in the history of Russia. And the Russians, like the Houthis, they never give up. But I want to remind people, and this is something that's, as a New Yorker who lived here through 9/11 and the aftermath and the pre-9/11, I've never told you this, Jim, but I saw the nest of Patsy pilots, right? Mohammed Atta, Hani Hanjour, Ramzi Ben al-Shib, and what is his name? Hani Hanjour is the guy who hit Washington. Maiwan al-Shehi, they were training out here in New Jersey, and I spotted them training in New Jersey. And I warned the FBI for over a month, the FBI, the INS, the FAA, anybody who would listen, to try to stop the attack. I knew they were bad. I knew they were evil. I have psychic intuition. And I did everything between August 9th and 10th was my last call. The next day was the attack. But they let it happen. They wanted this to happen. But something that I will never forget was on CNN immediately after the attacks. They went up and they caught Benjamin Netanyahu rushing through a hallway and said, Mr. Netanyahu, what do you think about this attack? And he said, oh, I think it's great. He smiled and he said, oh, I think it's great. And then he caught himself and he said, because now America knows what Israel has been going through. So, again, 9/11 led to, again, the perpetual warfare paradigm. And this is so important. The reason they have to keep wars going is to hold on to the unconstitutional powers that were arrogated by FDR in World War II. They gave him, conferred upon him, something called the War Powers Act, right? But in order to retain them after the World War II was over, they had to have another war. So we have the Cold War. Then we had Lyndon Johnson, the War on Poverty. Then we have the war on drugs. We have the war on terror. In order to retain that authority, executive authority, presidential that are unconstitutional, they have to maintain a war status. And this is what I call the perpetual warfare paradigm. So we have to start cutting away that arrogation of power by the executive branch. The executive branch is not the king, right? We have checks and balances, but they're doing everything in their power to neutralize it. One more thing about appropriations. This is the first time in my life. I'm as old as Israel, right? 1948. First time in my life that I've seen the Senate stop foreign aid or appropriations to Israel. And that is a tidal shift in the situation. And I was thinking about the $7 billion a year that the United States has been giving at, on average, to Israel. And I thought, you know, half of that money goes to Israel and its economy, but the other half is the bribery, the kickbacks, you know, the corruption, the payoffs that has made it possible for them to buy off the Senate, the Congress, and even the State Department and the President of the United States. So we're not in Kansas anymore. Back to you.
Oh, I get it exactly right, and it's a fascinating development. My best guess is that Gerald R. Port is going to be the sacrificial lamb that they're going to have an attack, sinking a carrier with about 5,000 troops, 3,000 sailors, 2,000 Marines, to be the causus belli to justify going to war. They're going to blame it on Iran, which Israel has been targeting forever, regarding it as its greatest ally, enemy, in dominating the entire region. And as you heard, Wesley Clark revealed the plan in the wake of 9/11 to take out the governments of seven countries in the next 5 years, beginning with Libya and Iraq, ending with Syria and Iran. But where they were brought to a halt in Syria by the intervention of Russian and Iranian troops at the request of Bashar al-Assad, who's a democratically elected president of Syria. Most Americans today, Robert, don't understand Syria's already a democracy. So we can't be there to bring democracy to Syria. Paul Craig Roberts believes actually what's taking place now is completing the 9/11 agenda to create the greater Israel, which I believe has been exacerbated by the loss of Ukraine, which was intended to be the new Israel, as you intimated previously. I think that was the plan.
Jim, I'd like to say that when Biden and the deep State Department talk about democracy, they spell it with a K. D-E-M-O-C-K, crazy, C-R-A-Z-Y, democ, crazy. They are using the term and abusing the term. When we say, or people in the Americas parrot the Biden administration saying, oh, we're in Ukraine fighting for democracy. What democracy are you talking about? The moment that Zelensky took power, he outlawed all opposition newspapers. He nationalized all the television stations and news stations. And he declared that there would be no elections until the war is won. Well, you know when that is? Never. Because Ukraine can never win that war. So it's all mind control being exercised using techniques that have practically been perfected. They exercise a hold and a power on people whose eyes and ears are plugged in permanently to CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post. I call it the Washington Compost, because the Washington Post and the New York Times were hand in glove in the JFK assassination cover-up. And the Mockingbird media, as I named them, 20 years ago I came up with that term after learning about Operation Mockingbird. So I just called them the Mockingbird Press or the Mockingbird media. They are controlled and have been controlled since the late 1950s by plants of the CIA. C.D. Jackson, who was head of Time Life, came directly out of OSS and the Psychological Operations Planning Board of the CIA to become head of Time Life, which bought the Zapruder film and hid it for many, many years. When they published the first frames a week after the assassination, they did this really neat trick. They published strips, frames of the Zapruder film in Life magazine, and my brain started screaming as I'm trying to read text and follow along with the frames. First of all, the frames were not placed vertically so that you could see them. They were put slantwise, and they were juxtaposed into wrong positions. So C.D. Jackson and Time Life magazine have been, as I like to say, hand in glove with the cover-up. They hid the reality of whatever remains of Zapruder film. As Jim and I have spoken for 30 years, the Zapruder film is the greatest example of mass mind control that the world had ever seen before 9/11, and it is a consciously engineered optical illusion. If one person watches it, it's an optical illusion. If masses of people watch it, it's a mass hallucination. They have hijacked our perceptions. It's one thing to exercise mind control neurolinguistically, to trick the verbal center, the thinking mind, the rational mind, by the skullduggery of neologisms and twisting the meanings of words. But to actually steal a human being's perception is on another, even more diabolical level. And that is what has been perfected since 9/11. Marshall McLuhan said the medium is the massage. He didn't say the medium is the message. He said the medium is the massage. And what he meant is that the medium is massaging your mind to be receptive to the truth or the false information that is going to be fed to you. Back to you, Jim.
Yes, 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 of course. They had original film footage that was sent to a CIA lab called Hawkeye Works, adjacent to Kodak headquarters in Rochester, New York. So the original film, which was developed in Dallas, was sent as an 8mm split film to the National Photographic Interpretation Center in Washington, D.C., where they process satellite images, these little micro dots, blow them up for study. You need to do if you were going to alter a film too. But what they did was create briefing boards of the sequence of shots based on the original film on Saturday. Then Sunday, an agent who called himself William Smith arrived from Rochester with a substitute, the massively revised and edited film, which was in the form of a 16mm not yet split film that had been processed in Rochester, and a different team at work there at the NBIC created a new set of briefing boards on the basis of the edited film, so that they effected a massive deception. Most Americans tend to believe what they see, and yeah, in this instance, they had to remove 100 frames turning from Houston on Dam because the driver, William Greer, swung out too widely, nearly hit a concrete abutment, paused to get back in line. I believe they worried the American people would lose confidence in the Secret Service if they witnessed such an incompetent turn. And later, Jack had already been hit in the back and in the throat, but he was not yet dead. They brought the limousine to an abrupt halt, jostling all the passengers forward. And during that interval, he was hit back of the head. He slumped forward. Jackie eased him back up, looked at him right in the face when he was hit in the right temple, and slumped to the left. But that's not what you see in the Zapruder. They removed so many frames when they merged the two. The only forward motion you see now is 312 to 313. Mm-hmm. Then the back and to the left. Yes. 3, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Nobody witnessed that in Dealey Plaza from the excision of too many frames. And the limo stopped, by my calculation, I know this sounds incredible, but when you consider all the activities that took place, appears to me to have lasted as long as 20 seconds. He had Officer Hargis at the left rear dismounting his bike, running between the limos, which he couldn't have done if they were in motion. Officer Jackson on the right, motoring up the grassy knoll until his bike falls over. Five agents surround the presidential limo. One takes a chunk of skull from a little boy, which I believe, in fact, was a Harper fragment, put it in the back. And we now know, Robert, this is astonishing. One of the agents climbed in the limo. His name was Glenn Bennett. And with new techniques, Dynafilm able to expose it, to follow up. can go to. I made a presentation at the False Flag and Conspiracies Conference held this past weekend, and we're already posting the presentation. It was free and open to the public. And if you go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, or go to my Twitter, at Jim Fetzer, you can see my presentation entitled JFK, What We Know Now We Didn't Know Then, where I present the proof we have that Lee was actually in the doorway when the motorcade passed by, that the backyard photographs were done, as he said, with someone else's body. It turns out to have been Roscoe White, and his face pasted on, and then these new revelations about the editing of the film. So it's really stunning stuff, Robert.
Yes, I have to commend you, Jim, on the work done on the stop and the aftermath. And Glenn Bennett, actually, here's another proof. Glenn Bennett was back there riding on the Queen Mary, the second limousine. And he actually saw a bullet hit the president. He used strange language. He said, I saw a shot hit the right side high of the president's head. And here's something that you and I have not discussed, but my claim to fame was exposing the Gestalt editing of the Zapruder film. Many people saw discrepancies in the Zapruder film, but they couldn't explain how it was done. But the secret is Gestalt psychology. I began my research into the Zapruder film on the premise that it was possible for the bullets moving through a very, very hot and moist atmosphere to have left condensation trails. So I began a search, and I actually did find them. And the most significant one comes at Z295. At Z295, a bullet comes in, and you can see the condensation trail that it's leaving, and it comes in and grazes President Kennedy's head, and then it's deflected slightly, and that's the bullet that went right through Governor Connally. At 295, at Z313 is where we see the head explosion. So I like to explain to people how simple it was using this Gestalt psychology editing technique to cover up at least five shots and turn them into two. Okay, so I do it this way. I put my hand up like this. This is shot number one, the shot in the back when he was behind the sign. This is the throat shot. This is Z295, the shot that missed. But they overlooked one. But at the grassy knoll, there were three shots, a crisscross. Dr. Carrasco, when he testified for the Warren Commission and House Select Committee, he was asked, in the wound, did it look like a wound of entry or a wound of... And his answer was, it looked like both. And I said to myself, what? Is he saying it made a U-turn? It went in, turned around? No, he was saying there were two shots. And so the film showed this. So what did they do? They had to reduce all of those shots to all coming from behind and reducing them to two shots that caused all those wounds. So what did they do? At the sign, Zapruder said he saw President Kennedy stand up. His head popped up above the sign. He sank back down. The Secret Service man said he heard the president say, my God, I've been hit. And they challenged him. I guess it was Arlen Specter. He says, no, he couldn't have said that. He was shot in the throat and he couldn't speak. And he said that. He said, how can you be so sure? He said it with a Boston accent. So we have this, and you cut the fear where Kennedy popped up and dropped back down. Then you have him coming out from behind the sign. You see the throat shot. And then at the grassy knoll, right now you have all these wounds have already been caused by two shots that actually hit, one in the back, one in the throat. Then you have the sequence just prior to and Z313 to 324. Bang, bang, bang. The film here, cut the film here, join those frames. You reduce three shots into one shot. And that's how this mind control editing technique was exercised. And all of us were fooled. I was fooled, except when I was fooled the first time, I got sick. Because that's what cognitive dissonance will do to you. It'll turn your stomach. Your brain says something isn't right. Something isn't right. And what I found is that in 1968, when CBS did a segment of the Zapruder film for the first time, when the car passed behind the sign, I thought I blinked. And that's at 7 o'clock. And I said, how could I blink? I was concentrating so hard on this. At 11 o'clock, they're going to show it again, I said to myself, because they repeated the news. I'll watch it again then. So if I was concentrating 100% at 7 o'clock, I was concentrating 120% at 11 o'clock. And here comes the car, comes down the street, and blink. I said, what? How could I blink at exactly the same moment, concentrating so hard and paying attention? I walked away, and my stomach felt ill. I felt sick to my stomach, but I also felt two other things. I felt ashamed. I felt embarrassed that I could not keep my concentration. Well, 30 years later, I found that version of the film. And what they did is they slipped a black frame for 1/3 second at that juncture where that blue cut, you know, you know it very well. There's cut right through the sign with the blue glue, a really sloppy editing job that they did. And so they made me think I blinked. So 20 million people watching that film that night, they all thought they blinked, but nobody said to anybody else, hey, did you blink?
Yeah, Robert, we'll be right back after this break.
Very good, Jim.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. K countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and Freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, Freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio. Now we return you to your host.
Turning to domestic politics, Robert, there's a bizarre decision by the Colorado Supreme Court to not allow Trump's name to appear on the ballots for voting in the primaries on the ground of this obscure provision of the 14th Amendment. That's anyone who engages in incitement of insurrection against the government may not run for federal office, which is really recognized to apply only to Confederate soldiers. I mean, this has nothing to do with contemporary politics.
Jim, it's
plus,
as an
American thinker explained way back when these charges were first raised, Trump didn't incite. He told his followers to peacefully protest, let their voice be heard. There was no incitement. There was no insurrection. No one thought they were going to overthrow the government in the United States. So it's been nonsense from the beginning.
Absolutely.
But somehow, in political grandstanding, the Supreme Court of Colorado has ruled that his name may not appear. Well, here we get a report about it. The Colorado Supreme Court 4-3 decision is pure nonsense and can be laughed at. They even admit it on page 9. This is from Sundance in Conservative Treehouse. 3 points before getting to the sauce. First, it was a 4-3 decision. I mean, it was the politics of the court, literally. The political makeup and perspective therein that determined the outcome of the decision. This is showcased in point number 3, which is the funniest part. Number 2, the entire framework of the case against Trump is predicated on this, quote, the complainants asserted he was ineligible under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment because he engaged in insurrection on January 6, 2021 after swearing an oath as president to support the U.S. Constitution. Reminder, President Donald Trump was not charged with insurrection, not accused of insurrection, does not complain under the definition of insurrection, has never been found guilty of insurrection. The complaint is moot before the court, but hey, it's lawfare. And we all know lawfare is created for public media consumption. So it takes us directly to the biggest point, number 3. Instead of me writing it, let me screen grab so we can all laugh together. Here's from the decision. If review is sought in the Supreme Court before the stay expires on January 4th, 2024, then the stay shall remain in place, and the secretary will continue to be required to include President Trump's name on the 2024 presidential primary ballot. Wait, what? Says Sundance. Yes, that's correct. As long as President Trump appeals the decision to the Supreme Court, the appellate court stays their own ruling essentially indefinitely. The Colorado primary ballot printed in the primary election will be over before the Supreme Court even puts this on the docket. Your thoughts?
I had missed that. I didn't hear that last paragraph. That's amazing. It just shows you what a clown show that Colorado Supreme Court is. You know, they're just playing local politics. But I'm glad you said it. Sedition, treason, and insurrection are criminal offenses and criminal charges. No trial has been conducted. No charges of insurrection have been filed against the president by the federal government. No trial has been held and no conviction. So they're grasping at straws. It's just a dog and pony show, as is popularly a popular phrase for such chicanery, you know, showboating. Maybe they just don't want to get shot by Democrats in Colorado and they had to conform. Maybe BLM and Antifa was going to come after them. And that's a really sad thing to say, that these radical groups have the politicians and the courts intimidated and afraid. And so it's a terrible state of affairs that has unfolded across the country under Joe Biden. You know, I gave him a Chinese name. I don't call him Joe Biden. I call him Joe Biden. And he's the real Manchurian candidate. And I've been harping on that ever since they stole the election. And I was really gratified to hear President Trump in a rally in Florida a couple of months ago say, Joe Biden is a real Manchurian candidate. Well, folks, those are the facts. He is in the pocket of the communist Chinese, and the Hunter Biden laptop is true. It's real. The emails are real. And now the House committee has found all of the bank records. And so it's, look, we were fooled. We played along with the chicanery in the name of peace and social justice. But this is an illegitimate government that has taken over and is being a puppet for the New World Order, and in particular for the CCP and the Zionists, who are joined at the hip. They are both communists. They are both Marxists. They are both atheists, materialists. So let's open our eyes and see what we're up against and start standing up for the Republic and the U.S. Constitution. I reject the jargon that's insinuated itself into our vocabulary of the collective, the proletariat, and the masses. Those three terms are Marxist terms. I reject them. I'm not a member of the masses. I am not a member of the collective. I am not a proletariat. I am a citizen, I'm a member of the public, and I'm a member of the union. That's our American vocabulary. Let's stop the perversion of the English language in America. And that's one of the principal tactics. Newspeak is what Orwell called it. And that's what we're suffering, newspeak. Back to you, Jim.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Paul Craig Roberts has another piece talking about the American political crisis, also on UNZ. Trump is being prosecuted by Democrat prosecutors in courts presided over by Democrat judges in jurisdictions where there are black Democrat juries. Law is being used as a weapon to remove a president and presidential candidate perceived by the establishment to be a threat. Trump will not be permitted to be president. If he is not imprisoned, he'll be assassinated unless the establishment thinks it can control Trump by controlling his appointments and continuing to harass him. The establishment thinks that 8 years of high stress on an elderly man has done its damage, and a little more stress will finish Trump off. Your thoughts?
I think Trump is a lot stronger than anyone gives him credit for. I cannot imagine, Jim, I cannot imagine you or I being subjected to what he's been subjected before the last election, for 4 years of his administration, but before the last election, the stealing of the election, and these trumped up charges that they are using at every opportunity. But those cases are falling apart. The case in New York has been halted pending the appeal. But our friend Alex Jones had a very interesting program 2 days ago where he pointed out a statement that was made by Letitia James. And she said that the judge agreed with her charges and found him guilty of fraud before the trial took place. I think that thing, that statement alone is going to crash the case. She said that that the judge has found Donald Trump guilty of fraud before the trial even started. So I think these are all falling apart. And I think that's what's going to happen. And the Supreme Court is going to rule. I wish they would rule sooner on the January 6th, quote unquote, insurrection. Now that all the videotapes are out, and seeing that these poor people were lured into a trap. The doors were open. The Capitol Police, in many cases, acted like tour guides and brought them in, ushered them in. And it was a total frame-up. And I hope that the Supreme Court, I would wish they would hear it in January, because those people in prison and in the jails waiting trial, that is the most unconstitutional thing I've ever heard. We're supposed to have a speedy trial. And these people have been held incommunicado, in solitary confinement, without a trial for going on 3 years now. It's one of the greatest injustices in the history of the United States. And the FBI has to be reined in, if not rearranged. President Kennedy knew what the threats were back in 1963. He had already initiated paperwork to separate the CIA from information gathering and operations. He was insistent that the U.S. military should be the briefing agency for the president, and that they should be in charge of espionage and information gathering. So that was one of the things that led to death. It was a battle to the death between the CIA and the president. Because, let me tell you this, Jim, I just found this out recently. The straw that broke the camel's back between the president and the CIA on the president's side was the President Kennedy found out that the CIA had assassinated a British general named Viscount Allenby. And this was a man who was known to President Kennedy. He was a war hero. He was going to come out with his memoirs about World War II, in which he was very critical of Winston Churchill. And in order to silence him, MI6 asked the CIA, Alan Dulles and James Jesus Angleton and Robert Trumbull Crowell was in charge of intelligence, to take the contract to kill Viscount Allenby. And when President Kennedy found out that they had assassinated a British general on behalf of MI6, he said, that's it. And that's where he went on to say that he was going to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the four winds. So that is a big part. Also, J. Edgar Hoover. President Kennedy and Robert Kennedy were ready to usher him out. They had passed a law that no bureaucrat in the federal government could serve past the age of 70, and they saw his birthday coming. And, of course, his head was on the chopping block. So the CIA and the FBI were in on the kill from the planning stages to the aftermath. So those are the realities that we face. And now they're trying to assassinate President Trump without bloodshed. If you know what I mean, character assassination, political assassination, without actually the murder, but they are in desperate straits, and I pray for the president. Listen, I pray for every president. I never want to see another assassination of a political figure in America ever again, because it takes decades to recover. Kennedy, King, Kennedy, the attempt on Ronald Reagan, all of these things have been terrible things for our country, and they never come out for the better. So let's pray for all the presidents, including Biden, including Obama. I never want to see another political figure assassinated in our country. It's been the worst trauma of our lives, Jim. Our lives would have been totally different. We would have been two totally different men, different careers, different histories, if President Kennedy had not been assassinated.
Yes, I agree with all that, Robert. There have actually been already a dozen efforts to assassinate Donald Trump. One was using a drone firing into the window of his bedroom at night. It would have killed him, except a week before they'd replaced the glass, ordinary pane glass, with bulletproof glass. But they may try. Here's a piece from LifeSite News, will the deep state actually assassinate Donald Trump? One has only to look at Robert Kagan. He's an arch Zionist, of course. This is the husband of Victoria Nuland, who brought about the coup in Ukraine. Recent unhinged rant in the Washington Post, in which he describes a Trump reelection as an American ending apocalyptic event, to seriously wonder if the deep state is actually considering the unthinkable. LifeSite News. The 2024 presidential race is not quite fully underway, but as it continues to draw near, a free contest will be held in Iowa on January 15th. That's only a few weeks away. An increasing number of predictions are being made about what will take place. For many months now, Donald Trump has had a firm grasp on the Republican nomination. He's never not been more than 30 points above the rest of the field. In fact, most polls show him to be around 60%, while Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy have each garnered around 15%. Lawsuits filed by anti-Democrat liberals aimed at keeping Trump off the state ballot have thus far been swatted down by the court system. And while George Soros-backed New York attorney Linda James' lawsuit has taken a lot of time, money, and energy from the former president, the likelihood that Trump will end up in jail as a result of it seems highly unlikely. The inevitability of another Trump nomination and possible election victory next November is something Beltway elites are coming to grips with. Robert Kagan, the neocon husband of liberal Zionist Victoria Nuland, said as much in a recent call-up for CIA mouthpiece of Washington Post. Nuland is a bureaucratic parasite, what the media calls a diplomat, who currently serves in the Biden regime. Her primary job right now is to ensure your and my tax dollars are funded to Volodymyr Zelensky's ever-widening pockets. Kagan's article is several thousand words long. Exhibit A of why he belongs in an insane asylum. It's an unhinged rant about how Trump will usher in a dictatorship if he ever gets reelected, which Kagan admits is looking very possible. Kagan theorizes that if Trump wins the presidency, he will immediately become the powerful person ever to hold that office. He then ominously asks his audience, most of whom are probably intelligent, what they are going to do to prevent this from happening. If we thought there was a 50% chance of an asteroid crashing into North America a year from now, would we be content to hope that it won't, he wonders, or would we be taking every conceivable measure to try to stop it, including many things that might not work, but that, given the magnitude of the crisis, must be tried anyway? Stunning stuff, Robert. Your thoughts?
Well, yes, stunning. It's staggering, the inspiration. I mean, it's palpable, the desperation of all of these candidates, both the Democrat side. I mean, I read that the Democratic National Committee is giving money to Nikki Haley. Can you believe that? They're funding her campaign. It just shows you how desperate these criminals are to avoid justice. And what they're afraid of is that President Trump will utilize the tools of state and exactly the same way that they have done so, by weaponizing the FBI against American people. But President Trump, if he uses the FBI as a weapon, it will be against the traitors in the Congress, in the Senate, and in district attorney offices, like Letitia James and Fannie Wallace. And the abuse of the justice system in America is something that I never would have imagined, especially as what I see happening in California. Can you ever imagine a municipality or a state passing a law that would condone theft, robbery, and say that if a person steals up to $950 worth of merchandise, they cannot be prosecuted? Well, that's exactly what has happened in California, in San Francisco and Oakland in particular. They passed an ordinance that said that anyone can go into any store and steal up to $950 worth of merchandise and suffer no consequences. Well, that's what you see there is this communist front trying to destroy capitalism. How can any business survive the loss of $950 per week, much less $950 a day? And $950 is minuscule compared to the thousands that they're really losing when these gangs go in and loot a store and take everything off the shelves.
Yeah, yeah. Multiply 950 by hundreds, even thousands, because it's occurring again and again and again. I mean, it's no wonder these businesses are having to shut their door. I mean, they've legalized mass looting, Robert. I mean, it's just appalling.
But also assault, Jim. Also assault in New York. They don't prosecute criminals who attack people on the subways. People throw innocent victims, just throw them in the tracks. Luckily, most of them have survived, you know, banged up and broken. But they don't charge people who attack. But if you are white and you defend yourself, or if you're a Hispanic or Muslim and you defend yourself in your store against a looter, an assailant, then they're down on you. Because only New York's police can stop a crime. You are not allowed to defend yourself. And you know, in England, this is exactly what has happened. They've disarmed the people. And in England, if a burglar breaks into one's house and the homeowner defends himself, grabs a knife, stabs the guy in self-defense, the police will come and take the assailant to the hospital, give him treatment, but they will arrest the homeowner. You're supposed to sit there and let yourself be robbed, assaulted, raped. And this is insanity. This is what socialism does to a society. The nanny state taken to the ultimate degree. Back to you, Jim.
Oh, Robert, yes, I think the situation we're in is dire indeed. We have developments domestically where the Democrats are launching an offense to force Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas to recuse himself from the Trump immunity case. Ramaswamy, who's been making a lot of wonderful statements, exposed as a left attack at a CNN moderator in an answer about the COVID origin, federal agents on January 6th and the like. I mean, Robert, it's just astonishing. Our FBI turns out to be perpetrating crimes on the American people and covering up others perpetrated by the government. They're simply the private police force for the Biden administration at this point in time.
Yes.
We got a federal judge who's courageously going to unseal over 180 previously redacted names of Jeffrey Epstein powerful associates. Look for some good ones like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Alan Dershowitz. I predict, Robert, are going to be on that list.
Jim, I've seen pictures of John Roberts, Jeffrey Epstein, and Bill Clinton swimming together on Little St. James Island there. And now, you know, we're getting to something really even more sinister. The Vietnam War was propelled by two things: the military-industrial complex, the perpetual warfare paradigm, but the lucrative business of drug running, in which the CIA became a partner with France. I have been talking to you about the Zipper files. I have copies of the original Zipper files, not transcript. I have the copies that were made by Robert Trumbull Crowley on yellowed paper. He kept notes of the plans to assassinate the president. He kept notes of all the attendance, the meetings, and the after-action report that happened December 22nd, 63. A month later, they looked back on the assassination and how it was going, and in those documents, which are yellow papers, it says that one of the main reasons for the Vietnam War was France asking CIA and the U.S. government to ensure that Vietnam stayed in the Western camp. because without Vietnam, France could not transport the heroin out of the Golden Triangles to seaports to ship it to the Western world, to the United States, to Mexico, to Cuba, to Europe. They needed the rivers of Vietnam to navigate through the land, from the landlocked area, the Laos, Cambodia, Golden Triangle. They needed the rivers of Vietnam to transport the heroin and the other drug to the coast for shipment. And in 1967, when de Gaulle came to the United States, he had a private meeting with the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, and he agreed to split the profits of the heroin trade issuing from the triangle.
Stand by. We have Robert Morningstar here. We're going to open the lines for your calls. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Take advantage of this opportunity. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garza at freedomslips.com People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That building collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Mitchell, I'm not going to have the benefit of your presence and assistance after this fraud. I want you to have the opportunity to comment on all of the above and the wonderful opportunity to have Robert Morningstar here. Mitchell, the floor is yours.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Hey, good afternoon, Robert. God bless you, and glad y'all both are here.
It was good to talk to you today.
You know, we live in this time where, you know, they're trying to transition the world into, you know, this, it's socialism, it's fascism, it's Marxism, you know, all wrapped up into one, you know, and we've become 1984. You know, we've become that society that is essentially controlled by masters pulling psychological operations against every facet of our lives.
Yes. Well, we have to fight to preserve every facet of our lives. Fight for Christmas, Christmas carols, hymns in churches, our own language. We have to fight to preserve our own language. You know, I watched the movie 1984 recently, and I was amazed to see it now as a senior citizen, as I am now, compared to what I understood of it. And one of the most interesting things in the program was one of the communists in the movie says to the others, "We're having a lot of trouble with language, but that should be resolved when the new dictionary comes out next year," meaning there the neologism, the new speak. And this is what they're trying to force on us, you know, a totally new language. It's with perversion of the English language. Back to you, Mitch. Good to talk to you.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, Robert. Another thing that we see today, it's this literal mind control with social media, that the massive psychological operations, you know, using the Ash experiments, you know, the Milgram experiments, you know, done by Stanley Milgram, you know, the Stanford Prison Project. You know, we live in a society, you know, that is basically the Stanford Milgram, you know, National Prison Project.
Yes.
And during COVID, you know, we literally had, you know, the government authorities standing behind people saying, it's okay. Give them that shot. Give them that jab. Put them on Remdesivir. Deny them alternative medicines. And, you know, people say, sure, let's electrocute the bastards.
Yeah, do it for the good.
Yeah.
Everything was for the greater good. Folks, start thinking about your own good. You're not to anybody else if you're not in good shape yourself. So these slogans are pernicious. The other thing I like to say about slogans is just because it rhymes doesn't mean it's true, right? Back to you.
You're absolutely right. But people have become, their minds have become part of this, what I term is a political placebo effect, mm-hmm. where they are so easily molded, they are so shaped, you know, by the data and information they get from their quote unquote trusted news organizations. Mm-hmm. And people have no idea the depth of the lies and the breadth of the deceptions that they have been exposed to.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the other thing we have to be aware of is depression and despondency. A lot of this propaganda, the mind control apparatus, is to make you feel small, to make you feel powerless, to think that, oh, it doesn't make any difference. You know, they rig everything. It does make a difference. And I say that when you have an immense power right now, right in front of you, if you're listening to this program via a computer, that computer is an incredibly powerful instrument. With that computer, you can blitz the Congress. And I do so. Let me tell you how you do it. You do it through Twitter. and you just hashtag, or actually I like the at sign, at House GOP, at House Democrats, at House Senate Democrats, at National Republican Committee, at Democratic National Committee, at Joe Biden. And you just, I have a list, and I'll share it with you, Jim. If you want to get your news out, counter news to all the propaganda organs, CNN has a website, has a Twitter site, MSNBC, NBC, Washington Post. I list them all. I have this, you might call it an email list, but it's for Twitter. So I copy the whole thing. I do the post, my rebuttal to whatever objectionable propaganda they're putting out, and I zap it to them. You have that power. Write to your congressman.
You mean you're able to counter their stories with rebuttals that go out to their list?
On their websites.
Right? That's on wonderful. Their website.
Anderson Cooper will come out with a blab.
I need that, my friend.
I have one for the United States. I have one for Canada. I have international news. I have Europe. And like I told you, I blitz them, and I get them on their own platforms. And you can do the same thing. Don't be afraid. Say what you think. Tell
fascinating. Fascinating.
You'll have the email today with my list of all the
Twitter. Excellent. Excellent. Mitchell.
So, you know, here we are, you know, living in fantasy land, quickly turning into an Orwellian nightmare, driven by a nanny state of real, well, knuckleheads. Jonathan Turley has an article out today where a liberal journalist has redefined socialism as essentially getting the best deal on a product. That, you know, Dell is a socialist company because they reduced the price of computers. It's literally, you know, if you want cheap products, you got to have socialism. Never mind the fact, you know, that the products produced like in the old USSR, were shoddy. They didn't work. They didn't fit. And they may have made, you know, 3 million shoes or more a year, or 300 million, I guess it was. But they couldn't even find a shoe that fit properly.
Correct.
You know, the stores, I guess the one joke Turley talked about, that the guy went into the store and he asked if they had meat. And the guy says, no, we have fish. The guy that has no meat is a street.
Wow. That's really, yeah, it's sad but true.
Yeah.
They're trying to destroy capitalism. Let's get back to that subject of allowing mass robbery, mass theft. They are trying to destroy capitalism. They're trying to create a one-class society. You know, I was watching a video from South Africa, and it was two black South Africans talking, and I could not believe my ears. One black South African said to the other, "Oh, I wish we were still living under apartheid, because at least you could own something that belonged to you." Well, that speaks. Remember, a classless society, there's no social mobility. There's no advancement. When I traveled in Eastern Europe, I crossed Checkpoint Charlie and I went into East Berlin. I was in East Germany. And I noticed that when I went to a restaurant, everyone was listless. The waiter had no motivation to serve you. Tipping was not allowed. He got the same salary, the same reward, whether he hurried up, whether he was courteous or not. And when I went to East Berlin, crossing Checkpoint Charlie, it was as if everyone's light bulb was dimmed. And I just want to share this. I was crossing Alexanderplatz to visit the Russian War Memorial there, and no cars to be seen for miles, both sides of the road. Nobody jaywalking. New Yorkers take jaywalking as a divine right. But on the other side of the street, I saw a U.S. Army captain coming from the memorial, waiting for the light. and his soul was glowing. His soul was actually glowing around his body. And I saw all of the East Germans and Eastern Europeans who were visiting. They had no light bulbs. The light was off. And this is what communism and socialism does to the human soul. It takes away your inspiration, your aspirations, your goodwill. And it instills fear and silence and loathing. So I warn my fellow Americans, beware of communism. Socialism is communism in sheep's clothing. Back to Mitch and Jim.
Well, you know, Robert, the Democrats of today seem to think human beings are interchangeable parts, as though they had the same athletic, mental, even physical abilities, which is completely absurd. They promote transgenderism and men competing in women's sports, which is all but annihilated sports, which I and most Americans thought was sensational when it got equal funding or substantial recognition. And you got a guy who ranked like 542nd in men's swimming and turns out to be winning all the women's records. I mean, it's by now swimming as a woman. I mean, this is so disgusting. But it's being promoted by what was once a major party in the United States, but has now gone total lunatic.
I detest it. Jim, you know my life story. I've been a lifelong athlete. I've taught Tai Chi Chuan for 50 years, practiced 50 years, taught for 45, Kung Fu, every sport. I am a lifelong athlete. And I've been very proud of the progress of American women in sports. But this total perversion, I'll say it here, I don't believe that chicks with dicks or girls with testicles should be on the same field with women and girls. And my advice to parents and to women athletes is this. If you get on the track and field with a chick with a dick or girls with testicles, line up in the blocks, let the gun sound, and all the real women and the real girls stay seated and let those trannies run around. You'll see how long that trend lasts, right? No, it's really a crime against women. And I'm amazed that women are so docile and are letting it happen, except Riley Gaines and a few other outspoken ones. A Canadian woman boxer took a stand. She refused to box against a man, a transsexual, whatever you want to call them, because she knew the guy was just going to pummel her and wipe her out. It's really stupid. It's really cruel. And advise parents and athletes, women athletes, not to participate. You see how long that trend goes on. When you say no, they've got to go. They've got to go. There's nothing right about it. It's a total perversion of the purpose sports, especially
Mitchell,
women's sports.
Your thoughts.
100 years they for that.
Oh, Robert's absolutely right. You know, I look at this, at the sexual dysphoria and the grooming that is happening today. I look at it as a literal psychological attack on children so they can redefine, confuse, use, abuse the minds of children. So they can shape them into literally any form or any idea that they choose. With that said, that causes in the future, you know, for those children as they grow up and they become adults, they really don't have a good basis in reality and essentially be manipulated, you know, by all of the psychological warfare that we are experiencing today. It truly is a crime against humanity and a crime against children to groom them in these ways. As a person who was sexually abused when I was a child, it hits me. I dare say it would radicalize me, or in a sense that it is so abhorrent that they're essentially doing this. And, you know, it's like I said, it's a crime against humanity. And if kids can't be kids, then they're just automaton robotic humanoids that are going to be brainwashed in every way possible from birth.
You're absolutely right, Mitch. And if we have time, I would like to talk about education in a moment and how we imported the Soviet model. But it looks like you have a caller, Jim. So you want to take the caller?
Who do we have? Okay, Brew, join the conversation.
So I see 708 plus 708.
I've got him, Robert. Brew, okay. Join the conversation.
Yeah, I just want to start off with there are no quote unquote shit dicks. There's only men with boob jobs. Okay,
right.
That's right. We just got to get the basic facts right here. Chicks with dicks is just such a misnomer. You're giving credibility to something that doesn't exist. Men with boob jobs and huge shaving bills, as Jim likes to put it. So, but we're dealing with people. Look, you guys are talking about this gender phobia and all this other crap they're pulling. We're dealing with people. They only understand. They're only out for one thing: power and control. All the rest of the human race, other outside of their circle, their families, their circles, and so forth, are the competition. And what do? You destroy your competition. So if you destroy them through all the agendas they push to destroy their mental stability, to change their, you know, biology and harm them in so many ways that they're so bound up dealing with their own personal strife from what's been implanted on them through agenda, through these people pushing this stuff, that the competition is destroyed. They will have no competition. When you go up there, they're destroying all future competition. So you can't reason with these people. They're doing what they're doing, and it's up to us on our side as the competition with our own goals just to be left alone, to try and live decent lives and raise families and so forth to understand this. And that is the opposition that obviously they don't want and can't have, because it destroys their striving for their power and control. That's the only way we can take it back, by being smarter, more resistant, and somehow get in front of the agenda, which is difficult because they own all the media and so forth, to get in front of this.
Well, mind you, Lou, that phrase, chicks with dicks, is lampooning the very idea. I mean, it's not meant an endorsement. It's making ridicule of the idea that you can have men who are pretending to be women. So there be no misunderstanding there. It's not an endorsement. It's lampooning. No,
we're forgetting about Mark Twain. We're forgetting about Mark Twain. He's receding in our memories, and he was one of the greatest satirists. He said something very important. He said, no dictatorship, no dogma, no orthodoxy can stand up against the power of laughter. And he used satire and laughter to demolish the opposition. If I may, I know we have a very short amount of time. One of the worst things that we ever instituted in this country was pre-K, pre-kindergarten training, because this was a subversive act. What happened was that in 1978, the socialists that governed the New York City Board of Education imported an education philosophy from the Soviet Union. There was a pedagogue, a theorist on teaching and education named Lev Vygotsky. And Vygotsky taught the Soviet Union that they had to start training the child from infancy to raise him in a communist milieu or environment, and that if they were able to do that during the formative years, from, let's say, from 2 to 7, when we are curious, when we're learning about the world, we're exploring, he said, put them into a communist environment, and then communism will be hardwired into their nervous system and will never be able to be erased or expunged. And that's what's been happening with pre-K and early pre-kindergarten. That was the plot, to start to habituate the children to accept communism and socialism quote unquote equality as a way of life, and to suppress excellence, because that's what you're going to have when you have equity. Equity is equal outcomes. You suppress excellence. You suppress meritocracy. We have to get rid of that kind of indoctrination. Back to you, Jim.
And well, thank Brew, you, go ahead. Pick up, Brew. I want to get more comments from you. Go ahead, Brew.
No, I'm just going to parlay with this. As you mentioned, this is Mitchell's last show, or Friday's his last show.
Friday's
departing as producer.
Friday's Mitchell's last show, Brew.
Well, I put you two together, I don't know how many years ago. I put you together with Mitchell's information on the Trump assassination files, and then somehow he got hooked in being your producer for the next 4 years.
I owe you a debt, Brew, because you did a great thing. He's been so steadfast. He's been so reliable. He's been so supportive. I'm just tremendously grateful to Mitchell Bupp for standing firm and being here for me and for Revolution Radio. In my opinion, it's been above and beyond the call of duty, and that's literally, not just figuratively, literally true.
Very good. Hey, Robert, I never get a chance to talk to you, so I'm also on Revolution Radio also and been a steadfast listener for years. I've been friends and things with Jim for since he was back on Rents Radio. Robert, going back ago, I'm reflecting on this today. When was the last time I heard you on whatever with Jim? And you guys were all talking about South Africa. And I heard the term before, normalcy bias, is one swing back then, talking about South Africa and the destruction there and how that's the beta test for the rest of the world. That actually stuck with me. So I'll give you that.
Thank you, Bruce.
While you're on air here.
It's good to meet you, and thank you very much for calling in and your comments. Of course, I was being facetious with that, but as I said, Mark Twain is a big part of my background and my belief in American literature and American commentary. And it's sad that they're taking Mark Twain out of libraries and they're putting in porno sexual material. So it's good to make contact with you. Thank you for your comment.
All right, I'm off. You guys take care.
Okay. I'm just delighted you called in, Brew. That's just wonderful. Excellent time. Robert, I can't enough for being here today. Real pleasure.
Thank you.
It was wonderful, your involvement in the conversation, and I only wish it would endure. But life goes on. We have conflicting responsibilities. I just want to emphasize how sensational you've been, which I shall reiterate Friday, our last show together. Meanwhile, Robert, we got maybe a minute or two for a final thought from you.
Well, actually, if you don't mind my making a plug, I'm going to be on Coast to Coast AM December 22nd, 23rd, that's Friday into Saturday night at 1 a.m. I'm going to be on 1 a.m. Eastern with George Noory, who's a very dear friend, a wonderful host. And I'm going to be discussing the extraterrestrial influence on religions. It's up to Christmas, the myth, mysticism, and symbolism of Christmas. And I said earlier in the program, we have to fight for our traditions. We have to stand up for the American way of life. And
Robert Hammond, sensational George Noory,
Thank you.
22nd, right? The 22nd of December. Meanwhile, 22nd. Everyone out there, spend as much time with your family, the people you love and care about. We still literally do not know how much time we have left. And support Revolution Radio.
Absolutely. Go to revolution.radio or freedomslips.org. Make a donation. Go to the Zazzle store or make a Patreon pledge. Help the torrent of truth keep going. This is what I call Jim's on my show and Revolution Radio. The torrent of truth. You have to keep it going. Thank you,
Wonderful,
Jim. Merry
Robert.
Christmas. Merry Christmas. God bless you all.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Yeah. We'll see you again soon. Come on my show. Right?
You got it. My pleasure, Robert. I enjoy.
Thank you.
Again, I reiterate, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about. This season is, of course, totally appropriate. Don't miss a moment to spend time with those you love. Back Friday.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny?
I went anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at...